Hello, on this autumn day here in the UK, you are listening to Wear the Dress or whatever alternative you like, formerly Tits Up to Breast Cancer. My name is Leah, and today we have a very special guest, Christine Shields, who is going to chat with me about how being in her 60s is her best time yet, her recovery from a 35-year eating disorder, self-hatred and more, and how she has navigated and healed from trauma and abuse to now be living her best life. Hello, Christine.
Hiya.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And thank you for being a guest on this podcast and to share and inspire others. So I'm just going to say briefly how I know you, Christine. So I've known you, haven't I, Christine, since 2019, March. And you approached me for therapy.
That's right, yeah.
Sent me an e by email, and we had a meeting, you, me, and my friend and colleague Maria, because I wanted to bring you into some groups we ran at my previous workplace, as well as setting you for private therapy with me. And well, you made the cut, and the rest is history, isn't it? So it's been
It,
like
that's true.
4 years, and you've really put the work into that therapy. As I always say, we're just containers who come along for the ride. You put the work in week out, week in, week out, day in, day out, hour in, hour out. And yeah, you've really grown. You've overcome so much, and it's proof that it's never too late, as you always say. Yeah.
That's my motto in life.
It
It's never
is.
too late.
It's never too late. Absolutely, absolutely. And while you're still breathing, you're meant to be here. And while you've got that breath, it's never too late to make change.
Totally.
Okay, so I've got a few questions for you, Christine, and just answer in your own way. You know, it's just be you, because that is what inspires people. So, firstly, I just want to ask you to introduce yourself. Okay, I've said how I know you and working with you, but if you can just introduce yourself in your own words.
I'm Christine. I'm s nearly 64. I've had a difficult upbringing, to say the least. But now I'm surrounded by two lovely children, five grandchildren, and a lovely husband. And I'm just enjoying life. Making up probably for some of the things I maybe haven't done in the past. Because now I'm confident to do it. Before, I wasn't confident to actually try new things or sometimes try anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember that version of Christine when you first came to see me. Christine with the head hood up on a hoodie that was too shamed to.
I looked down so much, I actually used to find coins on the floor quite often. When people
Wow,
had dropped them because I was
must
so
be a
busy looking
millionaire
down.
by now then, if you look. That's a great one. I looked down so much. I found coins on the floor. Yeah. And what are you finding now you look up? Nothing.
Nothing. I'm
You're
broke.
broke. But it's better to be broke and happy
Yes, definitely.
than to be rich, feeling
I
ashamed,
mean, there was
looking
one,
down.
there have been points I literally wouldn't speak to people because I just couldn't find my voice, basically. And I didn't think what I had to say was actually sometimes worth saying. So I just kept everything to myself.
Kept everything built up and built up and built up. And look at you now, you're reaching across the oceans because, as I said to you earlier, people abroad listen to this podcast. I've got some ladies in America waiting to hear today. So it's like you have your voice now and a voice that you're proud of.
And I no longer feel shame.
You no longer feel shame. That's key, isn't it? So, to that introduction, first main question I've got for you is, you've gone through a lot of changes in the past 4.5 years since I first met you. And I'm wondering if you could tell us all a little bit about those changes.
Well, my past has been very challenging. I didn't have a mother who cared or loved me. I was abused by a relative, and I coped at that time by having an eating disorder for a lot of my adult life. I had a mental breakdown about 17 years ago, and I didn't go out for about 3 months. And I always have been running away from my past. And I was extremely shy as an adult, and I realised that I had to stand still and face my past, because however fast I ran, it came with me, to the point
Right.
I even moved house to a separate area where nobody knew me at all, and it still was with me.
Absolutely. I remember having those conversations with you in some sessions, when you was considering moving again or stay, and you'd moved to seaside town, hadn't you? I think that's the one you talk about. And I remember you saying, I came here on sort of on the coast to get away from what happened in the town I was brought up in and everything, and it's still with me. Well, that's why you'd come for help, isn't it? You'd ran and ran and ran and thought you by changing your external circumstances, which can help to an extent, but it doesn't solve the problem, does it? That it had all come with you and still building up inside and building up inside. So you'd ran and ran and ran like Forrest Gump. And but then you said something really important. You said, I had to stand still and
And face
face.
whatever was chasing me, basically, because it was
Right.
never going to go away. Didn't matter how many miles I ran, how if I'd have moved to America or Australia, it would have still come with me. And it
It would
was
have
quite
still
hard to
gone.
accept that, actually, at the time.
Right. Right. What do you think was the hardest about accepting that?
Well, there's a lot of things you've got to face, a lot of things which you've been through, and in a way you want to ignore them and pretend they didn't hurt you or whatever. And to face the reality of that, it was painful, but and then deal with the pain. You can't just ignore it, because it will not go away. It's buried
Absolutely.
so far deep that you need to bring it to the surface and then deal with it.
Yes. It's like having a physical wound, isn't it? If you don't
You will
tend to
still
it, it
have the
gets
scars.
infected.
You'll still have the mental scars, but they are scars. They're not active.
They're not active, and it's cleaning that wound out, isn't it? And isn't with wounds, we bring the gunk to the surface, don't we?
That's right.
Physical wounds, to clean it out, we have to bring all the infection and gunk to the surface and then
Even
heal
if you
that.
leave a little bit in, it's still prone to start building again.
You're right. That's a great analogy. You're right. You're right. So stopping, standing still and facing it. You had to, as my friend who Betsy says, slow down to the speed of listening. But listening to
Listening to yourself.
yourself. To yourself. Yeah. 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 That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So lots of changes. What do you think's been one of the biggest changes in all of those changes?
Well, what I've put it, I met you, a good therapist, having tried a few therapists before to no avail. I knew I had to sort my head out so that I could live my life going forward. And I needed to feel safe, calm, confident, and I had to move on, but at the same time, never forget where I'd been.
Yeah,
Because
that's key,
if you
isn't it?
deny it, it's still there. It doesn't matter how often you'd sort of say that can't have happened to me, but it did.
It did, yeah.
So in a way, you've got to own it as well as everything else. You've got to own it,
Absolutely.
but not be the victim. You
Yeah,
can just own it
absolutely right.
without being a victim or a survivor. You can just own it.
Own it, yeah. I like that. Without being a victim or the survivor. Now I'm all for survivorship, but you and I, we've talked before, there's a place beyond. Like I say with my breast cancer, yeah, on the one hand I'm a breast cancer survivor, but I'm more than that. own it, and I move beyond survivor into, even if the cancer remains, it's like
Yeah.
into life, into owning all that I
Yeah.
am. And it's so easy, isn't it, Christine, as humans, for us to want to reinvent ourselves, nothing wrong with that,
Yeah.
but not actually allow our tapestry to have all that brought us to where we are.
Yeah,
It
I have
wants
tried
to
to
take you.
reinvent myself a few times, and it's never worked because the type of person I'm trying to reinvent myself to is not me. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And to be fair, to have healing, you need to stand into your own skin and who you are.
Yeah.
And we've done a lot of that around, not just emotionally and mentally, but into your bodily skin as well,
Yeah,
stepping into your own body and
a lot of
loving
the
that.
time I didn't like the blood that was running through my veins. If I thought I could go get a blood transfusion and come out a different person, I would have done. Luckily, you can't.
But you can't. But like you said, when you own it, and we've done lots of work around how you are not your parent, your mother.
Yeah.
You are not, you might have some of her DNA, we all do,
Yeah.
but you are Christine.
That's right, yeah.
You are Christine, and I've seen you really step into that. But I have also, as we've gone through, seen where you have wanted to erase your DNA, if you like, erase it, take the blood out of your system.
Yeah.
And I remember quite profoundly around the time you really stepped into, actually, no, I can look in the mirror now, I can see the reflection of this person
Yeah.
from my past, because we all have traits of our family, don't we, and our features, but I'm not them, I'm me.
Yeah. It took a
And
lot of doing, but I got there.
but you got there, and it is hard work though, isn't it? I think
Oh,
that's one
yeah.
message
Yeah.
you can give to people, that and you said you found a good therapist, and I sort of like that. Don't get hopes up, people out there. But you see, I was only there like an hour a week or whatever, a couple of hours when you was in groups, and
Yeah.
but all those hours in between,
Yeah. And the
it was
hours in
the daily
between,
graft.
you've got to work on yourself. You've got to put the work in. But put the work in that suits you. You know, whatever you decide to do, there isn't a box where it says this will help or that will help. You've got to try things. And some of the things will be a failure and it just won't be for you. But then just move on, try and find something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I practice pluralistically in the therapy and coaching side of my work. Well, in everything, really, teaching and everything, because practicing pluralistically means that we negotiate and find with the person, the client, the student, what works for them. It's not just the sitting down and talking bits, is it? It's like for some people, it can be going into nature. It can be going sitting talking to their priest as well in between. It can be like you found poetry and art.
Yeah, it's
And
whatever works for you.
yeah, absolutely. And everybody's so individual. We have similarities as humans, but we also have our individual differences. And you've really put the work in to finding, those and what works for
Yeah.
you. And I'm very clear not to put a one size fits all onto my clients as well, because they wouldn't get well, because we are so
No.
different, and I think the poetry has been a massive thing for you, hasn't it, in
Oh, definitely.
expressing
Yeah.
and processing, and a gift you didn't know you had.
No, definitely not. They just started popping into my head. In fact, they still do it now. I was cleaning the other night and there was about three in there dancing around. I didn't really know which one to concentrate on while I was hoovering and mopping at work.
You're mopping at work and these poems. Oh God, my goodness. Did you get a dictaphone, by the way? I can't
I
remember.
did, but I've lost it. I don't know where it is. I've lost it in the move.
So
I
you're back
usually
to the
say to
pen and
myself,
paper.
if I think of something, I grab onto the words that I want to say most, and I text those words to my own phone to me. And then
Brilliant.
when I look at them, it reminds me of what I was thinking.
That great technique that I'll never forget the time you were in, was it the MRI scan?
Yeah.
And the poem came to you, but you were
That's
stuck in
right.
this tube having an MI. I just remember how frustrated you were. You want that?
They won't.
It was a really good one. It was a really
Yeah,
good
they
one.
won't let me take a pen and paper in.
They won't let you take your paper to the MRI scan. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it's really like years of suppressed creativity and this ability with poetry, isn't it? That it's like it's all firing out
Yeah,
now, but
because
there's.
on my school report, and I've still got the school report, I keep saying I'm going to get rid of it. I haven't managed to do it yet, but they did actually call me in black and white an idiot and other things. And that, I'm afraid, did stick with me for a long time because in school, actually, I probably was an idiot. But I don't think it does anybody any good to write it down on their
On the
report, which they
report,
can keep looking at.
and I challenge that one step further. Any behaviors you had in school that you might label as an idiot, I wouldn't, but you might label as an idiot about you, were actually there because of what had happened
There were
to
cries
you.
for help and nobody
Yes.
listened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd
Yeah.
hope to think that these days it wouldn't happen, that somebody would see that child and realise there is something majorly wrong, not just the playing up because of no reason.
But they're going through hell that something's happened or is
Yeah.
happening to them that they can't process. They can't,
No.
the child, and adults, we struggle to process when certain things happen, but children, they're just so
Yeah.
vulnerable, aren't they? And so I would even reframe you calling yourself an idiot there. I know you don't mean it seriously, but like, because you went through so much,
Yeah.
it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but seeing that on paper from those that were meant to be caring for you, your teachers,
Yeah.
an idiot, I can imagine how that became, how you swallowed that whole, we call it an
Oh, God,
introject,
yeah.
and that it you believed that, and then that becomes a limiting belief where you
Yeah,
don't
that's right.
try things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But
but then
then
you
I'm
manage
also a
to.
bit of a rebel, so
You are.
I like to try and turn it round.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and that's what you've done in your healing journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've was that
I mean,
Deborah James says, rebellious hope.
and I still can't write words properly sometimes. Or should I say, spell them properly, but they're still in the poem, because I know what they mean, but I may not
Yeah.
have spelled that particular word correctly.
And
But
that's okay. You can spell it Christine style, if you if and when we get you to a publisher, the editor might change the spelling for the sake of the mass, but it's, do you know what, you get very few spelling mistakes when you send poems to me for the book
I think
I'm
the
doing
computer
as.
helps me there because it seems to write the, if I write a few letters down, it finishes the word for you. So normally it's right because I just press that button. But I think left to my own devices, it wouldn't be quite as crisp, but I'm not really bothered about
Yeah, it's not important, is it? It's
that. No,
you're not
no.
submitting it for an exam or any, do you know what I mean? It's not, what's important is your voice coming through in those words to people or to yourself for the healing of yourself and to inspire
Yes.
and help others heal. It's about communication, not about perfection in spelling,
That's right.
isn't it?
Yes.
And that's and you are fantastic at communicating what you've been through and also offering hope to others through
Yeah.
your poems. Yeah, and that is what is key. I mean, it'd be quite sad if we got so et up on the spelling
That's right,
that
yeah.
the message was missed.
That's it. Yeah, you've got to
It
think of
yeah
the big picture.
yeah exactly. So Christine, you're in your 60s now, 65. Did you say 65, 64? I lost track.
I'm
64.
64 in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Right. Oh, happy birthday for soon. And I remember you were 59 coming on 60 when I met you. I
Yes, that's
remember
right.
that really clearly because the so I remember you mentioning being 60. And I'm wondering if you can say a little bit about the significance of 60 for you and why it was so important, even scary.
Well, I'm now in my 60s and I've done loads Loads of work on myself, self helped also by others. It's been painful, but I knew I could never give up because if I gave up, I would be giving up on myself. I've outlived both my parents now, so which I didn't think I would be still be alive, to be honest with you. So I'm calling these my bonus years, and I'm determined to make the most of what I have left. I don't know what I've got left, but I'm just going to do what I feel's right. I'm not going to be set by rules or regulations, should I say, or too much ambition. I'm just going to try and be being today, because a lot of the times I've been in the past, and it is so refreshing to actually just be in the day
Yeah,
and not
being
think
present.
about, yeah, and just look at something for what it is, you know, enjoy my own footsteps. Without being scared and frightened, and I feel as I've got a lot of calm, and I've not had calm for a long time because all the storms been going on in my head. I might have looked calm and I might have talked calm, but in my head it was literally going bonkers.
Yeah, absolutely, and all the anxiety and
Yeah.
the overthinking, and I mean it's you had all of that. I remember when that was going on most of the time, if not all of the time,
Yeah.
for you, even in your sleep, and
Yeah.
causing
Oh,
sleep
yeah.
problems. And
Yeah.
and I remember how you would think that you would die by 60.
I guaranteed I would have put all my house savings on it. I was going to die because, unfortunately, my dad died at 53, and I just, me and my husband haven't really planned for retirement because, to be honest with you, we didn't think we'd be seeing it. So this has come as a bit of a shock. I'm not retired yet. That's another story. But we didn't think that far. But we just didn't. We just because we didn't expect to be here. You
No.
know, we just thought our time would be up, and that was it. So
Yeah,
now I
and
see anything now that, like today, I've got an extra like day, which I didn't think I'd have. So, you
let's
know.
live it to the fullest. It's
Yeah.
and look at you now. You're the most well and
Oh,
vibrant you've ever been. That is brilliant. So the final question I've got before I read your poem, and then we'll close because people might not want to listen to us and I know you've got things to do. So what encouragement and advice would you give to others who are wanting to make changes, recover, move into the best selves?
Well, I'd say find what works for you, for your mental health. Express it in any way you feel. Might be words, might be pictures, might be poems, might be letters. But get anything that's troubling you out there. Find supporters and ditch those that don't support you. Find a good therapist if that's what you need. If you don't find one straight away, keep looking. However hard things get, never give up. Even if that means taking a few steps backwards, you can still, like I say, get on the horse again. And life is one learning curve. So you might think you're going to go in one direction, but then something might happen and you go in another direction. But don't let that frighten you. Just see what happens. And I've been in some people's shoes, obviously not everybody's shoes, but don't believe that there's no hope, because there is hope, because while ever you've got a breath, it is literally never too late. If you've woken up this morning, it's not too late.
Yeah, I love that. If you've woken up this morning, it's not too late. Wow,
Yeah.
that needs to be like plastered on billboards,
Tattoo.
Christine. The tattoo. Yeah. And do you know what? If you would have got that as a tattoo, it would not surprise me. It would not surprise me. So I'm going to read the poem that you sent me a couple of days ago now. Now I'm going to read it because Christine's asked me to read it, haven't you,
Yes.
Christine? It is her words, but she asked me to read it, and I'm going to put my drama degree to use. So just let me get your poem. Right. So this is one of Christine's poems, and do check out on my website, people, Christine's Corner. Hannah and I have given her own corner, and there's some of her poems on there. There's part of her story on there. Fantastic picture of Christine. I won't tell you what it is. There's two pictures of her on the website, but you have to see these pictures to believe it. They are funny, aren't they, Christine?
Very.
And it's not that we favourite anyone. It's just that Christine's done the work, and we want, and she's come to a certain place. And in time, others will come to a certain place. And I know Christine has been wanting for a while to pay it forward, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And to take it out there to help others. But she's put in the work, and now she's serving you all. So this poem's called Wounds. I'm looking forward to these bonus years, filled with hope and love instead of tears. I've dealt with my demons and put them in place. I now feel safe, calm, proud, and in a good place. Yes, I still have wounds. They are a gentle reminder of my past. But now I accept them as part of me at last. The journey's been painful and extremely hard. Sometimes I walked forward an inch and fell back a yard. I'm no longer ashamed of these wounds I can see. They are my badge of honor and belong to me. So as they fade and only I know they are there, I will treat them with respect and loving care. Beautiful, beautiful poem that says it all. What's it like hearing your words read out, Christine?
Sounds better when you say it than I do.
To be honest, it sounds better when you say it, because they're your words.
Yeah.
I just happen to have the performance side, which, if my late Guildhall drama teacher Margaret was still alive, she would be correcting some of that pronunciation anyway. But thank you
It's
so
about getting
much.
it out
Yep.
in any way that you can. Or suits you. Doesn't really
Yeah.
matter what way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. What suits you? That's what it is, isn't it? Yeah, absolute inspiration that you are, Christine. And I know people listening to this will really get something out of what you've said. And maybe it'll be the key that begins to turn things around for them. So I'm going to stop the recording now, but thank you so much, Christine. I'll stay on a second with you just to thank you. But yeah, so checking out now, everyone. Join us for the next episode, which I'm not sure the date of that yet. Hopefully once a month at least I'll be publishing, but it depends on university work and running the business and stuff. But listen to Christine and take what you can from that. Okay, bye for now, everyone. Bye.